You're listening to Magic From Wherever I'm At with your host, the magician, time traveler, and charmer, D'Artagnan.
I said, oh, well, you should see my hour show where I've also costumed it, written the jokes, and I do right. whole hours. You know, I was saying exactly what you just said, which is that, you know, I booked the show, I lugged it there, I stood on the ladder and pointed the light. You know, I do all of it. By the way, it's not just for the, you know, the gleeful unknowns, you and me. Mm-hmm. John Calvert was the exact same way. And mm-hmm. by the way, so was Harry Houdini. People forget that Houdini never took out a big show until the last very year end. Or two of his life. Right. Prior to that, Harry Houdini was doing max 40 minutes on stage in right. vaudeville with 11 other acts on the bill. Mm-hmm. Now, that's its own kind of challenge, and sometimes you have to do three of those acts in a day. But carrying a big show is a completely different thing because you're the only game in town. And that only game in town is exercised by the magician themselves. So yes, we don't get credit for all the stuff we do. And in one way, I mean, one way I lament that, another way I think, that's probably the way it should be.
Right.
Do you and I really have an appreciation of everything a baseball pitcher goes through to, you know,
right.
surgery on the rotator cuff, maybe a couple of times in his life? We don't. We just want to see him burn that pitch into the catcher's mitt and have the umpire call strike. That's
yeah. I was reading a book more recently called In the Blink of an Eye, which is a book about film editing by Walter Murch.
Famous.
Right. He said in the earlier chapters that when they shot Apocalypse Now, they had the amount of film that they used compared to how much they shot was something like 95 times greater, the amount that they shot as opposed to what they used.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, like they shot so much fucking film.
Yeah.
And what we see is like so great, of course, but also it's like, that's the, what we're talking about. This is the other work that goes into, of course, Coppola almost went insane doing that film too. So there's all sorts of like swirling stories about that film, but that's that much work going into something that, you know, you only see this little bit of. It's very much the same thing what we're talking about.
Sure. Do you think in your travels, and I want to hear about where you've been, do you think that the world has come, I don't mean acceptance or understanding of magicians, but do you think that the independent spirit, now that everybody's in lockdown or has been for a year, that they've embraced some of these independent qualities?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. You know, I think it's hard to, I don't know if I've experienced that outright where people have like, because I felt much like you said, I think at the very beginning of this, you felt like you were made for this situation. I feel much the same. In fact, I spent the first 2 months, I was in Florida when everything went down, so to speak. And I spent the first few months with my sister in Atlanta. And even then I felt like really weird about it because I was like, not particularly, I saw people around me melting down.
Right.
But I really felt like it wasn't that, perhaps guiltily, not that big of a deal. I was just sort of like, and then when I returned to Nashville, I had rejigged. I intended to go out and perform, and I had rejigged the show to incorporate even more social distancing aspects and to remove any sort of prop handling by the audience or anything like that in anticipation of that being a thing. You know, in anticipation of people not wanting to handle props or not wanting to be too close. And really in street performing, of course, you're basically 5 or 6 feet away from most people anyways. But people did not care about that at all. And which was shocking in a way and scary in its own right. Sure. And I sort of limited my performances going forward to just a couple of days a week as opposed to like most every day, just because of that, because I wasn't sure it was the best thing I should be doing. But And certainly with the more hours in, the exposure rate goes up. But it was really weird. The people did not seem, because when I returned to Nashville was sort of when people first, I think they'd been cooped up for like 3 months. So they were first coming out of their houses. All the tourists I performed for were basically, it was their first excursion too. So it was really interesting. And there was a solidarity there.
Yeah.
Between people getting out of their house for the first time. And so people were really, I think that was part of it. People were really relieved to have something to do and to experience and whatever. And it probably had a more sense of a normalcy. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I've certainly seen some very positive aspects of people getting to work from home and like, you know, maybe companies realizing that's a possibility now. And there was the whole thing with the air quality of like Los Angeles, you know, dramatically increasing, you know, stuff like this. Yeah, that was really interesting.
Do you listen to any, and this, I mean, it's a very wide encompassing term because we don't want to be too personal, but do you have any input from us spiritual community?
I would say not in particular.
Okay.
But I would say that I definitely seem to connect with people who have their own, and perhaps a similar in many ways, spirituality to myself. I wouldn't consider myself outright spiritual in a sort of traditional sense, but I definitely have an ether. I hope you've enjoyed this teaser of Magic from Wherever I'm At. To listen to this entire episode and the entire series of more than 150 other episodes, go over to magicfromwherever.com/podcast. That's magicfromwherever.com/podcast.
Tired of being a trickster, are you not?